annals of history, there has been some mighty duos.
Abbott and Costello.
Kirk and Spock.
Pippin and Jordan.
Mulder and Scully.
Batman and Robin.
Hawk and Keating. Well, maybe not that one.
Don't waste your time on me, son.
But you get the idea.
Now, from a small bedroom in Queanbeyan,
these two men
will try and make sense of the world with their words.
And if words fail them, there's always this.
Ben Edwards with a huge finish.
But let's hope it doesn't come to that.
The Ringer. Thanks to The Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen,
and Lang's Auto Centre in Queanbeyan.
Please welcome your hosts of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
Scotty, I used to be on the Radio Masters.
And Ben, the Governor Edwards.
Well, they said we'd never make it, but here we are, episode 29. It is the final episode of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast for season 2016. Thanks to Lang's Auto and The Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen. I'm Scotty Masters.
Who the fuck said we wouldn't make it? And I'm Benny Edwards. And who are you?
And I'm Stevie P.
Stevie P!
G'day, everybody.
Very, very nice. I'm sure there were people doubting that a disgruntled former radio jock and a biff merchant...
and a guy that gets punched in the head for a living.
...could get 30 episodes
but
into...
But since we got Payoffs on board, the hopes have gone up.
Yeah, fantastic.
I don't know about that, boys. You guys are doing a great job.
We had some celebrity great guests job this year too. Mark Hunt on his Harley. That was a highlight.
Riding.
Yes, that was great, wasn't it?
How good was that?
Yeah.
I didn't even write this in my thing, but I've got some interaction with Mr. Hunt this week.
Oh, with Mark?
He was helping me out trying to get a fight in Japan.
Right.
With Krokop.
What, you and Krokop?
Yeah. I put my hand up.
Oh, okay.
Because Vandalay pulled out, and then Krokop's full Croatian, like stoic as, doesn't say too much. And he did this big Facebook rant calling Vandalay a pussy for pulling out. And, Vandalay put on a big, called him out in... after Mirko's last fight on Risen and made a big deal about it and then pulled out a month out. So Mirko wasn't too happy, calling him a chicken amongst other things.
Yeah, nice.
And so
hope you didn't swear at him in your newfound Croatian, Benny.
Yeah, I sure am. Yeah.
Private message.
Thanks, Stoy.
I got a Croatian or half Croatian missus. All I know is krastavac, which is cucumber, apparently.
You got to learn the important stuff first, man. You got to learn all the insults.
Funny about
please
that, Scotty knows is cucumber.
Yeah, food.
Big, long cucumber.
You need please, thank you, and cucumber.
I love you and cucumber. That's it.
I love you, cucumber.
Yeah, there you go.
Or what about, does she tell you she loves your cucumber?
Benny.
She's thinking she married me. She's thinking.
Proof is in the pudding.
Yes, indeed. Now, listen, before we go any further and talk about the show tonight, Stevie and I were just having a chat before you showed up, Benny. And,
late.
Because you are house-sitting for me when I go to Queensland to see family.
I sure am.
And last week...
This is one of the guys. House partying.
I mentioned to Benny, I said, listen, man, the missus and I, when we leave on Christmas Eve morning, we'll strip the bed, we'll put down all fresh sheets for you and everything. It'll be all great. And Ben's just giving me this weird look and he's gone... no, man, I'll just sleep on the lounge room floor. And I'm like, what? For 8 days? You're going to sleep on the floor? Oh, I've got a thing about sleeping in other people's beds.
I'm low maintenance, man.
Really? Dude, there's
two words.
Two very comfy couches out there.
Two words. Stains. Can I say that?
Oh, well, I hope my mum's not listening. But that's why I said we would strip the bed.
Everyone thinks it. Yeah, you have to burn the bed to be sure.
Oh, dude, come on now.
You've got some powerful stuff going on there.
What? 30 episodes in and it's come to this, has it? Jesus. Anyway, so any potential people that want to rob me while I'm away over Christmas, feel free, because I've got a world kickboxing champion and boxing champion in the house. Go for it.
Just make sure you come.
Sleeping on the floor in the back room.
just make sure you come during the, 8 hours a day I'm awake.
And there'll be the killer Staffy here ready to rip your nuts off as well.
Away.
So it'll be fine. There you go. Big, big, big show to get through. Some more Christmas classics. One that our friends would have seen on Facebook during the week, you and Stevie.
It's an all-time great.
Having a giggle at Farty Bill's. So we've got that coming up for you. And did you know Santa's got a reserve bench for the reindeer?
No, I did not.
He does. So I'll be taking a look at
last
that.
Week it was reserved Santas and bad Santas. This
bad
week
Santas,
it's the reindeer bench.
It's the reindeer, get a bit of a Guernsey. What's coming up in the Bifurama, Benny, the final
We've
one
got
for the year?
The number one pound-for-pound fighter on planet Earth who barely anyone bloody knows fought and won again on the weekend, Demetrius Mighty Mouse Johnson. Mm-hmm. He's the clear number one. He's unbelievable. No one's ever bloody heard of him because he's so tiny.
So dominant.
But he's unbelievable, mate. And finally, we've got some fantastic audio from the final preview for Bardo and Rico, arguably the biggest kickboxing fight in history. And I had a Facebook argument with a guy, and I'm going to get into that later on.
Okay,
that was good. I saw that.
Yeah, what a dickhead, eh?
Steve,
he is not entitled to his opinion.
He's entitled to my opinion.
That's right.
I don't want your opinion, I'll give it to you.
My Facebook page, my opinion.
Write your own post, buddy, and I'll comment on yours.
Stevie, what do you got coming up for us, mate?
Plenty in the world of sports, mate. Some Aussies abroad doing a great job. Also, the V8s ended yesterday with a cracking finale. And also some NFL news after Tom Brady broke Peyton Manning's record for the most winning games as a quarterback. So some history made over the weekend.
Did we touch on Thingo retiring last week, the F1?
Rosberg?
Did we do that last week? No, because that only happened this week.
He won on Monday morning our time and then just went, I'm done.
That's
and
right.
Hamilton was still giving it to him.
Yeah, we talked about it on Wednesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then it happened just on Friday.
And he heard our podcast, it can't get any better than this. I'm out. I'm leaving on top.
The potty's giving us a big positive, so it's time to stop.
Mic drop. Scotty's marking down all the swear words.
Yeah, I am. I've got about
45.
I write them down. No, that's one so far, so we're doing
well. We're going well.
It's all right.
Oh, actually, I probably did bleep that too.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If anyone doesn't know what we're saying,
All right, I'll write down another one. Fantastic. I want more money for this next year. I do fucking heaps more work.
Steve and
here,
I
boys.
Chased it up. We're chasing it up, man.
All right, now, we told him otherwise he was going to start his own podcast and nobody on the planet needs to hear a podcast by Duke Diddy. It'll just be 20 Bon Jovi songs and fucking gibberish. So we promised we would play a song
I'm going to the wrestling with him at the AIS on Wednesday night. I'm talking about how I like the Japanese guy, Shinsuke Nakamura. He's cool, he's humble, he goes hard. And Duke's like, oh, I love that Bobby Gunn because he's a fucking arrogant prick. I wonder why, Jukey.
So Jukey wanted Bon Jovi. So let's kick off episode 29. Thanks to The Butcher Shop and Lang's Auto. Here's You Give Love a Bad Name.
was Duke Didier's request for Bon Jovi, You Give Love a Bad Name. This is the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. Fantastic. And I keep forgetting to say podcast.
You did last week, and I heard it. How I let it slide last week.
You
did,
and I appreciate it. You let me figure that one out myself. You're Scotty, you're Ben, you're Steve. And now we're going to our traffic report, the North Pole. How do you figure your way around the North Pole? It all kind of looks the same. I've been there.
To the North Pole?
Well, I Googled it.
Google Earth.
Google Maps, man.
Larry's got a very special helicopter.
Let me have it, Larry.
Laz here, folks, with the end of year traffic report for the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast, Christmas edition. I'm at the North Pole this week, and let me tell you, it's whiter than the Republican Party. I caught up with the big jolly man, and he gave me a look at his naughty and nice list. So I'm going to read a few of the entries out for you now. On the nice list, let's start out with Steve Smith for that fucking catch. Wow. Also, whoever invented bacon, V8s, bikinis, video games, beer, and boobs. Stevie P for your use of socks and thongs. You're on the list. Well done. Benny, Santa got your letter, and he doesn't deliver girlfriends, but he knows a guy with some Russian connections. Scotty, you asked for a wooden spoon. Is that so Santa doesn't have to give it to the knights again? Now we turn our attention to the naughty list. Malcolm Turnbull. Do I need to explain why? Cameron Smith. Never forget the second set of books. Every Aussie motorist who didn't buy a Ford or a Holden but then still whinges that they're shutting down. And finally, anyone who's done the fucking mannequin challenge or pouted with a duck face in a selfie. You're all fucked. This is Larry signing off for 2016. I'm going to get drunk. Merry Christmas.
One of them put Hopper to sleep within one round. The other had his career put to sleep as part of a business restructure.
Consider it severance pay. Take the train.
Scotty and Ben's Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
One of our wonderful sponsors on the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast is, of course, The Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen. Good news is they will be back with us next year, which is fantastic. The boys at Lang's are moving on, but we'll talk about that a little bit later on in the show.
Both legends.
Oh, indeed. Absolute legends. But The Butcher Shop, they're under the pump at the moment. They're essentially working about 21 hours a day at the moment. They've got a night shift on pumping out Christmas hams.
Wow. And that's why I'm going to wait to about 23rd of December to put my order in.
No, Ben, you need to get your order in
now. I would probably do it now,
Ben. You can pick up your order then. If you leave it till the 23rd of December,
it'll be ready in time for next Christmas.
I know you're banking on the whole I'm a threatening Viking thing, but trust me.
One thing I do know is when I do get it, it'll taste bloody beautiful.
That's what it's all
about.
I went
in there this week, mate. I got two chickeny oven things and two lamb oveny things. I don't know the names, jumbucks and stuff.
Yeah, the jumbucks with the sweet potato.
And I'm
on
not
top.
Just saying this because they're a sponsor. Mm. I've spoken about it off air. It tasted so good, I couldn't wait to burp it up so I could taste it again. I'm not even joking. I told my mum that. And she just gave me a dirty look. I'm not even joking.
In the world of cuisine, you have Michelin 5-star restaurants and you have the Ben Edwards scale of I want to burp it up again.
It was freaking awesome.
The quicker it comes back up, the quicker I can get it back down.
My last three meals, last night was the chicken jumbuck.
Yeah, no, that'd be lamb jumbuck.
The chicken, whatever. No. Last night I had the chickeny oven thing. It was awesome. And today for brekkie, I had the lamb. I got up and put the oven on for bloody brekkie and for lunch as well. Second one. It's unbelievable, man.
You can smell
my breath, man.
You're in full training.
Get over here.
Anyone that's waking up eating lamb jumbuck for breakfast.
I'm the fittest fat ever. I've been on fucking fire.
There we go. There's two more beats. Sorry. Fantastic.
I've been on fire. I'm pumped up, man. Endorphins.
This happened once before when we moved our regular recording day because we actually recorded this week's podcast on Monday afternoon. And things are just a little crazy in the studio.
It's different.
Yeah.
I've got a little bit of adrenaline left over from my training session 2 hours ago with the mighty Dan and Deacon at the EQ building. Mick McKell, you're a legend, mate.
Nice.
It was great to be back. It was my first time in 10 months and probably did my best session I've ever done there.
Fantastic.
I've been on fire, man.
I thought this was an ad for the butcher shop, but anyway, never mind.
Back to the butcher shop.
Just Dixon and Kayleen, go and get it down your neck.
One of these guys won the Australian heavyweight boxing title. The other was told to f*** off by Angelina Jolie. Squad goals. Scotty and Ben's Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
Thanks to our good friends at the butcher shop and Lang's Auto. This is the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast with the two talent of the show. Let me start.
You're a talent, man.
No, that was horrible.
We're live.
I know. The two talented members of the show, Scotty Masters and Benny Edwards and me, Mr. Three Man.
Hey,
you're super talented, man.
Wheel,
dude.
Stevie
oh,
P.
Hang on.
Stevie did another huge show up
I was about
in Sydney
to say, that's
weekend.
What I was about to talk about.
Yeah,
I was about to cut in with my usual interruptions.
No, 2,000 that's all right.
people.
I've been waiting for them.
You
many.
Were saying,
how'd you go?
Telling me before Ben got here, man, like 23 fights and 15 knockouts or
that's
something.
That's right, Scotty. Oh, yeah. Massive night, boys. It was huge. It was just under 2,000 people in Liverpool. 23 fights, Benny.
What time did the show start?
6 o'clock on the knock and then finished at around about 11:45. So big night of fights.
That's not too bad.
It's great, but what they're doing is
it's pretty well
is,
organized.
Yeah, it's a really good promotion. What they're doing is giving guys a go, which is what they want. There were 17 amateur fights and then 6 pros as well. So
you need to get up there, Benny.
You should get up there, mate.
This
got, it's got your name written all over it, mate.
That's
a great promotion,
they,
great octagon, like an excellent octagon. It's all filmed, done properly, mate. It's really
good. But I'm impressed that they got that many fights out in 6 hours because I fought on a card. There's like 13 or 15 fights, I think. But usually a promoter does that and expects 2 or 3 pullouts on a week. There was no pullouts.
Yeah.
I was the main event.
And
I fought after 1 a.m. in the morning.
That's right.
And the crowd's just half asleep.
Yeah.
It was just a disaster. It was my first 5 rounder. So, I mean, this other dude.
I think you do need a bit of luck, Benny. If you can get through and there's a lot of knockouts. There was 15 knockouts, okay, and TKOs, which was great.
That's
so
good.
A lot of first
and,
round
and evenly matched fights, just
absolutely.
Solid
mate,
guys.
These guys do a great job in their matchmaking. They get amateurs with similar records. So, if it's a losing record, a winning record, debut versus debut. You know, it's brilliant. So, it's just a great promotion, getting everybody together. Big crowd.
4 ounce gloves, man. It's entertaining.
It's entertaining, all right. So, had a great show. Really enjoyed it. And looking forward to next year. The next first ones of that promotion's on March the 4th.
All right. Well, when you're on there, we'll podcast live from the event.
Yep.
Oh, if I get knocked out, you're going to have to delete that shit pretty quick.
Facebook Live, whoops.
Let's get stuck into this top five. Now, we know Santa's Reindeer form a team of elite flying reindeer, and they take him around the world. 24 hours, he delivers all presents to all the boys and girls around the globe. It's pretty impressive.
But quality work,
Prancer
isn't
and Blitzen get injured.
Yeah, well, he has a backup team. I didn't realise this because apparently the reindeers were first mentioned in 1823 in a poem called A Visit from St. Nick. That's where it all started. You're right, Benny?
Sorry, I was going to... Isn't like Christmas like originally, like except for Jeebus and that, isn't it a pagan...
Yeah.
The date or something, something to do with the pagans?
Christmas and Santa basically came about because of a Coke ad.
I thought Santa was created by Westfields.
Yeah, I think it was Coke. Honestly, I think it was a Coke ad in like the 1930s.
You don't love your family unless you buy them Coke for Christmas.
That's right. The jolly man needs a Coke to get around. Well, you would. To deliver that many toys, you need more than Coke, oath, just quietly.
What kind of Coke?
That's exactly what I mean. Why do you think his beard's white?
Yeah.
Donner and Blitzen, do you know they were originally called Dunder and Blixem? Did you know that were their names?
Sounds
originally?
Like there's a bit of a German twist.
Yeah,
on there.
Indeed. Well, listen, obviously, if one of the reindeers pulls out, you know, if Donner eats a dodgy Vindaloo on the 23rd, you know, Santa's got a bunch of crafty caribou ready to step up and fill the void. So I would like to present you with this.
And now, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. It's another Give Yourself an Uppercut Top 5.
Yes, it's the top 5 members of Santa's Reindeer's Reserve Bench. So these are the ones that don't get sang about, but they're sitting there waiting every year.
I can't imagine there's many good Indian restaurants on the North Pole.
Oh, you never know.
I wouldn't trust the old Vindaloo
up there. Santa would be pulling in favours, I reckon.
I'd be warming you up if you need one.
He'd probably get a phone in, I reckon.
Yeah, I reckon he would,
So from India.
Coming in at number 5 on the Reserve Bench for Santa's Reindeer's, Wayne.
I like it.
Wayne.
It's like
Wayne the Reindeer.
That's what you'd call it.
Stevie got it.
That's what you'd call your reindeer if you had one.
Yeah, probably.
Because you got
probably.
A cat called Alan.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of animals with human names.
Me too.
I like it
Me
a lot.
Too.
Number 4, Kiki. No
response.
On, no response.
No response. The very lowbrow.
Okay. All right. Cool. You think that's lowbrow. Wait for number 3 in the top 5 members of Santa Reindeer's Reserves Bench, Uranus, Comet's younger brother. You want to go lowbrow?
I'd ride
first
that.
Reserve.
I'd ride that reindeer.
First reserve.
Can I ride
Uranus? It's a Farty Bells type episode. Uranus.
Can I ride Uranus? Sorry,
Number 2, Waldo. Sadly, Santa can never find him on Christmas Eve, so he's never going to get the call up.
Where is he?
Boom Tish. And he's the one in the hay wearing the red and white striped beanie. And number 1, there's the drum roll. In the top 5 members of Santa's Reindeer's Reserves Bench, Flatulent Eddie.
Has he got a song out? Christmas
no,
related?
I should write one for next year.
He's the emergency reserve.
You're listening to the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. Thanks to The Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen, and Lang's Auto Centre, Queanbeyan. He's put more people to sleep in the ring than you've had hot dinners. He's faced the biggest and meanest dudes on the planet.
Another dramatic finish here as Ben Edwards comes from
So now it's time for Ben's Bifforama.
That's insane in the membrane.
All right, it is the final episode of Bifforama for 2016. Benny, take it away.
All right, and I prepare this in 20 minutes because I've been busy maintaining my status as the fittest fat guy ever. You don't have to beep that one.
No.
So we're going to start off with some UFC news. We had the Ultimate Fighter Tournament of Champions finale. Now, the UFC organized a 16-man tournament full of champions in 16 separate organizations over the world because the current UFC 125-pound champ, Demetrius Mighty Mouse Johnson, had completely cleaned out his division and had no one else left to fight. So they had to get some new blood in for him to have some kind of competition.
That's amazing, isn't
it? He is unbelievable, especially for a smaller guy. It's unbelievable, mate. So he just completely dominated his opponent. This guy won a 16-man tournament, Tim Elliott. He's an absolute gun. And it was a competitive fight, but DJ clearly won on points. He is, as I said before, he's unanimously the pound-for-pound number one fighter in MMA and proved it with this was his ninth straight title defense. A few people are turned off because he isn't a big draw, purely just because of his size. But he's without a doubt the most technical and well-rounded and fastest MMA fighter ever. He's the only UFC flyweight champion ever. He's tied with GSP for the most title defenses at 9, second only to Anderson Silva at 10. He's won 11 fights in a row, and he's the second fighter ever behind Anderson Silva to be awarded Performance of the Night bonuses in all four categories, being Fight of the Night, Performance of the Night, Submission of the Night, and KO of the Night. There's no one left for him to fight, except there's only rematches. So,
yeah, right.
And I think the number one contender again is Joseph Benavidez, who, guess who he won the KO of the night for stretching out? It was Joseph.
Yep.
So, and he just won.
In the fight beforehand.
Yeah, and he just won against Henry. Joseph Benavidez just won against Henry Cejudo, who's the clear number two and three. And Mighty Mouse beat them both in his last two fights.
Yeah, yep. Wow.
Like, and Henry Cejudo was a 2008 gold medalist for wrestling in China. Mm-hmm. And Mighty Mouse just handled him. He's unbelievable, mate. Like, you look at him, and he's just a tiny little ball. And he's the nicest guy ever. Mm. Awesome work ethic.
He is. Plays very humble, Xbox, too, isn't he, Benny?
Just a humble little family man.
Is there any chance of him fighting Dominic Cruz, you reckon, Benny, in some sort of...
I think that's what they got to do. They got to look for some kind of super fight. Dominic Cruz is fighting Cody Garbrandt, who's a big banger. But Cruz... As I've said before, he's got one of the highest fight IQs in MMA. I rate him big time, and he's going to be an awesome, awesome coach when he moves full time to coaching. And Garbrandt, like, he's an exciting fighter. He's just a big banger, but I think Cruz will completely outclass him. And after that, there's not much left for Cruz either, except for another rematch with TJ Dillashaw, who's like a poor man's Dominic Cruz. So I definitely think the big money fight for both of them would be a super fight between the two.
Yeah, right.
Which would probably be at 130 pounds.
I feel a little bit sorry for both of those two guys in a way. They do lack the charisma to sort of
They're just too nice. They're not controversial.
They're not controversial, especially Dominic Cruz. I mean, he's the same type of guy. Mighty Mouse now, he's the only flyweight champion in history. He's defended his belt 9 times.
Yeah.
So he's in a situation where they can't get him a real big fight. Yeah. And how would you promote that? But you need someone smack-talking him to get hype.
But you look at Cruz. Cruz actually is very well-spoken, and he does talk a bit of smack. When he fought with DJ, they did a sit-down interview with Rogan in the middle, and Cruz just tore TJ to shreds. Yeah. And TJ didn't know what to say. He's looking at his wife in the corner, going, you can't say that. Yeah. But he didn't have a leg to stand on because Cruz was just tearing him to shreds, and everything he said was true.
Yeah.
So, and even with Cruz talking smack, still not a big draw.
That's right.
I love it because I'm a hardcore fan, and he's on the cutting edge. He's one of the original guys that I've spoken about here before with the neo striking.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of the guys. There's no left and right handed anymore. You know, there's no. It's just you go with the flow. Bruce Lee, be like water, just go with the flow.
That's it.
He's one of
the switch
first
left,
guys.
Switch
yeah,
right
yeah.
As you need to.
He's one of the first guys who's really implemented it to such a high successful level.
Yeah. Right.
So I think that's got to happen. That's going to be awesome. If Cruz can healthily make 130 pounds, now you say it's only 5 pounds he's got to drop, but
when you're that little,
he already cuts weight. Yeah, exactly. He already cuts weight to 135, and 5 pounds when you're only 135.
Well, as we said,
a lot
Ben,
of weight.
You and I can drop 5 pounds in a sneeze.
I've dropped about 10 pounds of sweat since I've been sitting here.
Yeah.
So
this is Benny's sauna for the week.
Yeah. He's pretty warm here in the SMM studios,
isn't it? So on to some more Conor McGregor venues. He had a Q&A in his hometown of Dublin, Ireland, and he got asked the question about the Mayweather rumors and him getting stripped of the belts. Have a listen to the audio.
So, can you tell these people, because you've just gone and got your pro boxing license from California, and it just so happens that this is the first official response there. Can you tell them what's next? And is Floyd Mayweather really on the radar?
Look, originally what happened was Floyd called me out. That's originally what happened. I don't care about Floyd. I don't give a fuck about Floyd. I don't give a fuck about Floyd. I don't fear no man under no rule set. So I'm sitting there minding my own business, dominating, true fighting, and Floyd calls me out and leaks a rumor that we're supposed to fight or something like that. But what it done was, it opened up my eyes a little bit. I was like, well, hold on. Maybe I can pursue this. Maybe I can pursue the boxing side. Maybe there's something there. So we went to it. We were in the background with negotiations, and look, we'll see what happens. Now I have my boxing license. Now, it's their move now. You know, I've presented myself here. I have the boxing license. Since I've got that boxing license, Floyd's fat manager came out and was like, oh, Floyd's in the Bahamas. He doesn't care about Conor. I was like, well, I don't give a fuck about Floyd either. If you don't want this fight, that's no problem. Because other than the Manny Pacquiao numbers, other than the Floyd Manny Pacquiao pay-per-view numbers, gate numbers, I hold all the numbers. Other than that one fight. So I don't need Floyd. I don't need Floyd. But I do not need him. So I have the boxing license. I'm also in something going on with the UFC. They're trying to strip me. I'm like, well, I ain't stripped. Yeah, I still got that belt. That belt's still in my home right now. So I'm still the two-weight world champion. Someone's got to come take that on me. I see articles. I see stuff online. But I don't see the belt not in my presence. The belt is right there. There's two world titles in my home. So
can you help the crowd? Because there's so many of them are UFC informed fans tonight. And the question I was repeatedly asked this evening, Conor, before you arrived, was can you ask him, was he stripped of the belt or did he relinquish it? And please don't hit me.
Eddie's still unconscious. What you mean? What you mean? I only fought last week. Them belts are mine. Whatever they want to say, and they can say, oh, well, we took the belt and now it's this guy's belt. You can play with those fake belts all you want. The real Jose was KO'd, Eddie was KO'd. You're looking at the two-weight world champion, and that's it. And that's it.
So
it's just classic Conor, isn't it?
And everything he says is like that. That's all true. Like
you're in my house.
Yeah, Mayweather did call him out.
Yeah,
and in my opinion, the fight's never going to happen. There's
no
nothing.
Way.
There's nothing.
There's no way this will
there's
happen.
Nothing no. in it for Mayweather.
Yeah.
The guy's set. He's got nothing to lose if he beats Conor.
Everyone expects it.
If he loses, he's ruined his legacy, which is what he's been trying to hang on to for the whole time.
Yeah.
What do you reckon about that situation?
100%, Benny. There's nothing in it for Floyd. The only thing that I can think of hypothetically that might entice him is a rematch against Pacquiao just to dispel all those rumors that he may have lost that fight, which he didn't. In my eyes, he won that fight easily. Yeah. So that's the only thing I can think of.
It was a boring fight.
And to get to that magical, to get to that magical 50 and zero as well might be something to entice him. But
I think the thing was he wanted to equal Rocky Marciano's undefeated 49-0 record before retiring, but the 49-0 thing, that's just like a media thing that they've pumped up. Julio Cesar Chavez, the best Mexican ever, and that's saying something because those Mexicans can
box. Punch on.
Yeah. He was 87-0 before he had a draw with Pernell Whitaker.
Yeah.
So I don't know why the whole 49-0 is so revered.
Yeah.
You know, and even if he went to 50-0, everyone's, you know, obviously, I don't think he's going to risk it. I really don't. I don't think there's a big enough name out there.
Unless he burns through all his cash, because he is notorious for burning through
but
money.
But I think, based upon what I've seen, I think he's actually got some pretty good people around him now to handle his money.
Okay, right.
From what I've seen. Yeah. So, back on to Conor. Also, he addressed him being stripped of the belt. And he does have a point. Like, they reinstated Jose Aldo as the featherweight champion. But
which is silly.
It's an awkward situation because the current UFC featherweight champion should be the champion should be revered.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He got stretched out. He got his brain shut off in 13 seconds.
He's coming off a win though. I mean, Jose, he did beat Frankie Edgar in a five round. I mean, he smashed him too.
It was a good fight. But and Frankie's so underrated. He's one of the toughest dudes in the UFC. But I think unless Aldo goes on like a KO tear or gets a rematch with Conor, which I really can't see happening.
No.
I really don't think until there's a new featherweight champion, that division is going to get the credit they deserve.
I said it last week. I would like to see Conor come back and just tear Aldo's head off again.
I just really would.
I never thought I'd agree with that about Jose, but
after how he's been acting, calling him a pussy.
Oh, he's been a tool.
You give credit when it's due, mate.
Yeah. In all seriousness,
everyone has kicked my ass. I've given him credit.
Mate, that's the one thing, Benny. You are very humble in defeat. Be honest. What is it you say? You either win or you learn.
Yeah. And I'm going to be a fucking asshole when I start winning again. Don't be worried.
Look out. What I was going to ask you, Benny, though, in all seriousness then, who does Conor McGregor fight next? He's in a position where he's at a slight impasse with the UFC. I mean, it's probably just a little stoush to keep the fires burning and to keep the interest there. You know, he come out, you saw a couple of days ago, I'm still the two division world champion at the moment. So he's spitting in the face a bit like, you know, you shouldn't have taken this off me. I want a piece of the UFC in his chats with Dana. So who does he fight now? Is it Diaz again, number three?
Nah,
is it Aldo, number two? Exactly. My point is, where does he go from here? The UFC won't want to lose him because right now he is their mint draw card.
He's
right?
the only draw card. Really? Especially if Ronda loses this,
Ronda loses to Nunes, she will not come back.
Ronda's set for life. She's been set for life three fights ago, man.
That's right. So that's it. So I ask you, Benny, who does he fight now? Where does he go?
Well, surprisingly for Conor, there is a little bit of limited options because you've got Khabib Nurmagomedov, who is the clear number one lightweight contender, 24-0.
And he's fighting soon, isn't he?
I don't think he has a fight lined up.
Oh, he doesn't?
But he does get injured all the time. Everyone, like AKA the Cain Velasquez, Daniel Cormier, Khabib, they're awesome guys, but they've got one of the highest pullout records in the UFC. And I'm actually reading Conor McGregor's trainer's book right now. I read half of it last night. It's freaking awesome.
Yeah, nice.
And their team has one of the lowest pullout records of a whole team from amateur through to professional in all of MMA. Mm-hmm. So maybe AKA could take a page out of SBG's book.
Yep.
So we'll move on to some kickboxing news. So as I've covered extensively in the last couple of weeks, the biggest kickboxing fight arguably ever is on this weekend, Rico Verhoeven versus Bader Hari. I've been through it all, but on Facebook, this Dingleberry fucking started arguing with me about how I wasn't even close to the glory days of the K1 in the 90s and early 2000s with all the legends fighting each other like Ertz, Ernesto Hoost, Jerome Labana, Andy Hug. They all squared off, but they squared off like four or five times. They all fought like, you know, every 3 months. The guys were legends, but there's never been a build-up like there has been to this one. These guys have been, proverbially eyeing each other off in the side of the cage for like the last 3 years since Rico's been on top.
There's a lot of hatred there.
Yeah, and there's just such a contrast of styles and personalities. Now, I told him in no uncertain terms that, you know, that's exactly what I thought. And guess what? No reply, so I'm on the argument. Here's Bader's trainer, my mate, Mike Passanier. He's a great bloke. Here's him talking about the fight.
Is dat nou een gevecht waar jij het meest naar uitkijkt?
Nou, ik kijk natuurlijk ieder gevecht uit, maar dit is natuurlijk een partij der partijen. Dus zeg maar, de nieuwe kampioen is eigenlijk de overall kampioen.
Ja.
Dan gaan we het even uitmaken wie eigenlijk het beste is.
Ja.
En dat is voor heel kickbox is dat een heel belangrijke partij natuurlijk. Want het kan natuurlijk een promotie zijn, zodat meerdere mensen naar kickbox gaan kijken, meerdere mensen kunnen zien hoe mooi die sport eigenlijk is.
Ja.
Ik hoop ook dat heel veel mensen gaan kijken.
So obviously that was in Dutch. I have no f***ing idea what he said.
When you sent me that, Ben sent me that audio and I cut it up and I checked the time like three times to make sure I got the right bit. And I thought, Ben's been freebasing. Like, what's going on? You've been eating steaks with bloody Lucas Big Daddy Brown, have you?
I'm not going there. And that's it. That's the final Bifferama of 2016.
Fantastic.
And unless I'm in Valhalla, I'll see you in 2017, folks. Thanks for listening.
The podcast you are listening to is all true,
proving once again that the truth is not pretty. just like a toast.
The Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast with Scotty and Ben.
Well, fellas, a sad occasion on the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast, and we thank them for jumping on board. But for the final time, we say thank you to Johnny and the crew at Lang's Auto for being sponsors of the show. They're off to greener pastures for 2017, boys.
Yeah, they've been absolute legends getting behind us. We didn't really have a lot to offer from the start. Now we've got worldwide fame. Thanks. partly thanks to them, mate. So you guys are absolute legends, mate. Thank you very much for your support.
Indeed. Now, Johnny did say, I was in there yesterday, Benny, and he said the soccer mum van hasn't come in yet.
It's on the way, man.
It's on the way?
Yeah, I always do segues in the middle of sponsorship raps, but we all know what a great bloke Stoy is. My BFF, anyway, he gave me a freaking car.
Yeah, you were saying. But you're still driving your mum's car.
Yeah, well, it's free fuel. But Stoy's, I got to go take Stoy's car in to see Lang as well. So they might have two cars.
Okay.
Because the odometer's stuck on 406,000 and it doesn't lock. So I don't leave anything in there. And saying that, we are in Queanbeyan. Do you mind if I go check my car?
It's daylight, it's Benny. Good. It's fine. Sorry. It's only after dark stuff.
I'm stereotyping.
Mate, Queanbeyan.
So you're a former member of this great town as well.
And you know why I left? Because my car got broken into.
It's Richardson you got to worry about. I wouldn't live there for all the money.
I left because my car got broken into. Have I told you this?
No.
I swear to God, when I was living with Haysto, the old guy that tried to set me up when he was getting his car stolen in the driveway.
Yeah.
I'm laying in bed with my missus at the time. Yeah. Not this is like years ago.
Yeah.
And I was sort of half asleep. I'm pretty nocturnal anyway. And I heard like a bucket of water hit the driveway, and I'm like, what the hell was that? And then I heard the similar noise again. I looked my head out the window. Someone smashed my passenger window and grabbed her overnight bag off the front seat, but it looked like a handbag. And so I've run out the front, grabbed my machete. You always got to have a machete next to your bed.
Back pocket.
I'm in my freaking Superman undies that are one size too small.
Awesome.
Running up Ullamulla Crescent with a freaking machete at 4 o'clock in the morning, chasing this freaking junkie. True story. That's back fantastic. To
Lang's. Well, you won't see that happen down there. You'll just see good honest mechanics.
That segue was proudly brought to you by Lang's Auto, Yass Road, Queanbeyan.
No. True story.
That segue was brought to you by 15 years of professional boxing head trauma. Folks, just go to Lang's. We love them, even though they won't be on the podcast next year. So we do have a few openings for sponsors. So if you do own a business and you're thinking, yeah, I want to get on board this wonderful broadcast, contact us through Facebook and we'll have a bit of a chat to you. But to Johnny, Dino and all the boys at Lang's Auto, thank you so much. And get your car down there before the Christmas holidays. They'll get you sorted.
Yeah, good on you, fellas. You got a lifelong member. Is it a membership?
Sure.
In me.
Oh, Christmas. The thing is, can you stop the singing? Can you please stop the singing?
God almighty, can you please stop all the fucking Christmas songs?
Oh, he's an angry man and we love him, and it is Christmas classic time. Now, if you've been on our Facebook page during this week, you would have seen a video that I posted on Monday evening of Benny and Stevie having a bit of a giggle at this song we're about to play. When are you trying to make fart noises, Ben?
They're not as
good as the ones in fart
noises. Not only am I making fart noises, I'm expelling gas.
Excellent.
If we actually do feel the need, can we do it?
Sure. Knock yourself out.
On the mic, though.
Steve, sure, you can do it.
Steve doesn't chew his
food. Well, Steve,
don't aim it at me, man. Steve doesn't chew his food.
He's sorry. my missus thinks this is disgusting. But as a kid, you remember... You probably don't because you two are young bucks compared to me. But do you remember the old little flat silver tape decks? And that was all one unit and they were a flat thing and all the buttons were along the bottom.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I had one of those and I had a 45-minute blank cassette full of fart noises as a kid growing up.
Real farts?
My farts and my friend's farts.
Oh. Did you, so you come over? Did you pull the ladies?
I've got one. And you record it. And so this tape.
Did you impress the ladies?
No, Benny, no. This tape, you'd hear the record click on, so it'd be clink, and then you'd hear. And then fart. And then you just hear. Didn't you just hear that?
Oh.
People would just lose their shit. I had a tape of 45 minutes of friends
that's
fart
some,
noises.
That's, literal, that's man. Some solid Uranus activity.
That's living.
And that's what led to this. This, sadly, is one of the most requested things from my time on the radio.
And did you say you...
I made this. Yes.
This is real.
So this is basically the biggest, most successful thing you've ever done.
up there, Benny, on radio. Yes, this is one, this is the thing we used to get requests for all the time.
We were getting requests for this in July.
Yeah, on our Facebook page. That's how right. Good. So it was a bunch of fart noises sampled into a keyboard.
In the tune
sound
of
effects.
C?
I think it's in C. Man, I made this about 5 years ago.
C
I can't remember.
Major.
Yes. Should have been in D minor, the saddest of all keys. But anyway.
Code Brown.
Ladies and gentlemen, so many people have requested this. So here it is, Farty Bells.
And no idea.
When you put your hand into a bunch of goo that a moment before was your best friend's face, you know what to do.
You're listening to the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast with Scotty Masters and Ben the Governor Edwards.
Can I butt in? Can I start?
Sure.
I might have a new walkout song.
Oh, really? Oh, Farty Bells.
Huh?
That would make that would make your opponents go, what the fuck is going on here?
I think so.
Yeah,
I nice think so. Work. Sorry, now I already cut you in before you started talking, so go ahead.
No,
Scotty.
I was just about to introduce Stevie P into his segment that doesn't really have a name.
I've named it, man.
No,
Buzz Planet of Athletic Endeavour.
We're coming up with a better name for next year's show.
What do you mean better name?
We're opening it up to the listeners.
Well,
remember?
you did come up with Bifurama, so I'll give you credit for that. Okay. It took you about 6 seconds. I was brainstorming for a week, didn't come up with shit. And you go, what? Just call it Bifurama. Done.
Ding. And it works.
I like it. No, I like the name.
All right, Stevie, you're the man that can
take it away
across world sport, mate. What do you got for us this
all
week?
All right, boys, plenty going on in the world of sport. I'll keep this as brief as I can because there's always something. I want to start with Tom Rogic, local Canberra footballer. I don't
for
know
the
if
mighty
you guys,
hoops for Celtic.
For the hoops for Celtic, for the boys. Yeah. Don't know if you boys have seen it. You sounds like you have, Scotty. Yeah, but Benny, Tommy Rogic, a local Canberra talent who's plying his trade at the moment with Celtic in the Scottish Premier League, scored a brilliant winner. 90th minute winner to win the game for Celtic on the weekend.
The last minute.
Away at Motherwell. It was a three. The game was tied at 3-3 at the time, and then he's popped up.
It's 45-minute halves, yeah.
45-minute halves, yep. So it was in the 90th minute, popped up in the last minute of regulation.
A cracker,
a cracker on his wrong right foot as well, put it in the bottom corner. This follows up as well. He's going the League Cup final. He helped Celtic win their first piece of silverware for the season by winning the League Cup, which was last weekend. So he's on fire at the moment, the young fella. And great to see some Aussie talent really plying its trade well overseas.
Kid from Tuggeranong.
That's it.
Kicking goals.
Mate, I ran into someone back when in my old job, when I used to have to go on a construction site trying to drum up work, I ran into a guy who was doing a thing down near the Thai embassy on the way to Woden from Parliament House. Mm. And the guy said, oh, have you heard of, is he Croatian? He said, have you heard of my
Serbian?
Serbian, is he?
Yes.
Oh, shit, don't say he's Croatian.
Don't say
it's the same thing, right?
Better
pick
that one out.
Mate, I've been there. The Serbs and Croats give a shit about it over here. They don't give a shit over there, man. No, I had a Serb take me around.
You know
I had a Croatian take me around Serbia.
You ask them here why they're fighting and they can't remember.
Why
do you hate them?
But I'm pretty sure he said, my son's actually, you know, you might have heard of my son. He was like, I don't know if I've got the right guy or not.
Yeah.
But this guy was starting to crack through.
Well, if it's Croatian, you certainly don't.
Was like, no, it's all the same. Like, sorry, guys.
Yeah, it probably was Tom.
Well, he said, mate, he's just started cracking through to the big time. You might have heard of him. And it was one of those names.
Back to
Steve. Sorry.
That was good story, Benny. Remember that and tell it at dinner parties.
Butcher shop links.
We'll talk to Tom about that when he's next in town. No, mate, he's doing really well. So, just wanted to say a big shout out to him. Great to see a local boy. And it's not since the days of your sort of Harry Kewells that a name has really started to resonate around the world of football. We've had big names, Brashaud.
Cahill.
What about Cahill?
Cahill's
the biggest one.
Cahill, Kewell, Viduka, that sort of era. I mean, we've had guys.
I hate Cahill.
Holman, who's done well.
Love him. think he's fantastic.
Why is that, Benny?
Because he got first class on my flight to America, and I'm stuck in cattle class next to these fucking idiots.
Yeah,
and I was sneaking up the joint, man.
Yeah, he earns a lot more money than you do.
Yeah.
There's a reason.
Yeah, I'm fine a 6 foot
six. You got that, Timmy?
I'm fine a 6 foot six Moroccan.
Yep.
I got paid $6.
Yeah.
Bloody Timmy Cahill's bloody first entree would have been about more than I got paid.
What have we learned here, Benny? Tennis, golf, and soccer.
That's it. How good would I be as a goalie? Try and get the ball past me. The ball's just going to start orbiting my head.
Yeah. Over his head. Yeah, so good on Tommy. Moving on, Tiger Woods had a triumphant return.
He's back.
He's back.
He took a decade off.
He's back indeed. The great golfing legend, Tiger Woods, has come back finally after 15 months out of the game, and he shot
and
a pretty...
10 years since a win?
Yeah.
A major?
Nah, not
major
at all,
win?
Benny. Not at all. He hasn't won a tournament for about 2.5 years. You get this for a stat for Tiger Woods, and I will caveat by saying I'm not sure the exact time frame, but get this. Tiger Woods hasn't won a tournament for about 2.5 years.
Yep.
Tiger Woods has won more tournaments than any other golfer in the last 5 years. Get that up.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah,
that's
wow.
That's the stat. And it's you barely, something like that. I'm telling you.
Since the whole scandal with the ladies, you barely hear the that ladies. Much about him compared
to
what
you used
to.
Well, he had a lot of back
to.
Issues too. That's he'd it. Come back
spinal?
And his back would go. And
spinal.
Then, yeah.
Look, things really unraveled for him when that happened with his partner,
well,
his
dad
ex-wife.
Died.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
His dad was a huge influence on him.
Oh, massive.
Yeah.
So he lost his dad.
I didn't know that.
He got caught being, you know, the world's biggest root rat. The missus took to him with a 9-iron.
And how hot was she?
I edited that bit out. And sorry, ladies and gentlemen, we can't tell you what Ben Edwards just said. Why that edit was so awkward. Yeah. There was a reason for that.
That was a euphemism, not literally. So.
I hope so. So he came back and had a really good tournament. Now, he shot the same amount of birdies in his entire four-round tournament as the
and
winner.
And a birdie
did, Hideki,
is two...
One under the hole pass, Benny. Yep. So he shot.
I know my shit, man.
You know, you're killing it. He shot the same amount of birdies as Hideki Matsuyama, who won the tournament, but basically, you know, didn't make as many bogeys.
Yeah.
Matsuyama did as Tiger Woods. But for him to get through four rounds to make the cut for a start, because you remember just before he took that long absence, wasn't making the cut, enjoying his golf, and was really struggling.
When was the last time? Had he had a substantial break as long as that ever?
No, I don't think so. He was the top of world golf for, you could say, 10 years comfortably.
Oh, easy. 96 to 06?
Easily.
98 to 08, sorry.
He was mainstream, man.
Yeah. He was the best, biggest, the best there was in golf. So one of the big things to come out of this week is to see if he can continue on. Now, can he beat Jack Nicklaus's record, 18 major titles? He's on 14 at the moment. Mm. So
How old is he now? 40s?
Tiger Woods would be, approaching 40. I think late 30s, I think, around that sort of age, Benny. Yeah. But, I mean, if you keep your body fit in golf, you can go well into your 40s and 50s. So it's curious to see how he goes. He had a good tournament, and the world of golf is talking again about the once great Tiger Woods. So
it's
good to see him
back.
It's
good for their sport too, mate.
Absolutely.
Because I'm interested in that.
He's a draw card. And I reckon he could get to 18. Honestly, if his back stays fine, if he stays fit, I reckon he can get there.
Did he hurt his back from too much golfing? Is that a thing?
Oh, I think too much rooting, Ben.
Right, I'll take that injury. Anyway. Happily.
Yeah. He had knee problems as well. I think he had a medial issue with his right knee, so his knee
was a lot of twisting
back
on the body. So in golf, obviously.
No, not when I hit a ball.
No. I could imagine you'd be
it's
like
terrible.
A, yeah.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
It's bowling shoe ugly.
We need to organise it, give yourself an uppercut Christmas golf game, do we?
Yes.
Everyone wear helmets.
Yeah, glass plated carts.
It's a disaster.
Golf ball.
We need the Pope Mobile to buzz around on instead of a golf cart just to stay safe.
Exactly right. Boys Motorsport yesterday, Shane Van Gisbergen took out the V8 Supercar title for the year. The Giz, the Kiwi, took
He's
it out.
He's a good driver.
Yeah, great good driver and a good bloke too.
And good not to see Winch Cup win again. Seriously, I mean, I know he's like the Cooper Cronk of the V8s.
Yeah.
You know, he's got all the skills. He's amazing at what he does, and he's so methodical in his preparation, but he's got the personality of a turd in a sock. He really does. Like, I just can't stand Jamie Winkup just shits me. He's like a robot. It's like someone went, let's just make a robot.
Put him on whim setting.
It, you know, and then there you go. So, no, nice to see Gizzy get up and have a win.
Did well, went down to the last round this weekend at the Sydney 500 there at Homebush.
And is that the last Sydney 500?
Yeah, off to Newcastle next year, off to God's Country.
Hey, look here.
Oh, yeah.
How long is that one going to be?
The race itself?
Newcastle 36?
No, I think it's a 500 like Sydney.
Oh, yeah.
And it's all up around Nobby's Beach and up around Fort Scratch.
Oh, it's going to be a cracking circuit.
Amazing.
Absolutely.
then.
Is it a street circuit?
Yes, it is, Benny. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep. It's essentially where I used to do laps about in Nobby's my Beach,
though,
as a kid.
Think of that, yeah. Those might, you might have Beach the lap up around there. That's sensational, though. In terms of aesthetics, it's a beautiful spot.
On the beach,
right on the harbour, beach. Yeah, how good's that? You've got a bunch of, like, we had them here in Canberra at Yarralumla. We had all the NIMBYs going, oh no, not in my backyard.
Yes, and the GMC.
Yeah, you've got them all in Newcastle already, whinging about, oh these cars are going to crash and destroy the heritage buildings up
here.
Like, no, have you ever seen a V8 supercar go out through one of the barriers? No, it's never happened.
That's right. So they're designed like that for a reason, for a purpose.
No,
safety first in this day and age. Motor racing's pretty bloody safe.
Yeah, no, it's going to be fantastic. It'll be great for the town. And as biased as I am being a Novocastrian, that area of Newcastle is one of the most beautiful places in the country.
It is.
And
it
how
is.
Much money would they bring into the economy?
Heaps. Oh, well, I think they bought the GMC 400 when it was here, and you got to think that was in Canberra on the June long weekend when it was friggin' freezing.
Oh, yeah. I went to one of them.
They reckon that brought in about $13 million into Canberra, and that was 10 years ago.
Yep. Yeah.
So
it
I think
last
it's,
long,
yeah.
though, did it, unfortunately.
It was even more.
Well, I've spoken.
I was there. I was in college. So it was like 2000, 2001.
Yeah, very early. Yeah, when I first came back to Canberra. Yeah, it was too. You're right. So, it'll be interesting up in Newey. I've already spoken to like friends and cousins, and we're planning on getting corporate hospitality packages up there for the weekend. It'll be unreal. So. I can't wait to see it get to Newey, Stevie.
It's going
to
be great.
Finally something for Newcastle to be happy about.
Yes, that's right. After the last couple of years of football, that's right.
Hopefully things will turn around there for the Red and Blues as well.
Yeah, we'll see.
You mentioned as well before, Benny, in motorsport, we've talked about Rosberg's F1 win last week, and he's come out since and retired, which has been a bit of a surprise for everybody. This is a thing which is probably a little bit taboo in this day and age, but he's come out to say, I just can't put in the same amount of effort anymore. I can't keep up with the media commitments. I can't keep up with the time away from my family and daughter. So there's a bit of nobility to it, I think. He's basically said, it's just too much for me. Niki Lauda was very critical of him, saying you've basically all, you know, led us astray, signing all these new contracts and, you know, having such a big year. But I don't know, where do you boys stand on this? If he's had a gutful, he's had a gutful. He wants to spend time with his daughter. He's 31 years old. He wanted to win it since he was 6. He emulated his father in winning the F1 title. I mean, is there anything wrong with that?
Right. If you want... You want to get out, mate.
Yeah. I mean, that's a thing.
Business, you look after number one.
But the thing is, and I don't know the full details of his contract, but I guess it's one of those things, if he was contracted for another few years, do you think it'll turn into a big legal battle where they say, well, having you at the helm, you would have cost us this much in marketing and business.
But also, on the flip side, is he really going to want to try and perform for you if you go on a court and all
correct.
That sort of stuff?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, no, it was a big shock. It shocked the world when it came out.
Do you reckon he's going to stick to it? Or you reckon he might take a year off?
He might have a sabbatical, but why wouldn't you say that just honestly?
Like, he might do a Tiger Woods, 14 months off.
You never know, but where's he going to come back to is the big thing. I mean, there's talk now who's going to replace him, if it's Verstappen, you know, Ricciardo's in the mix. You know, Sebastian Vettel was in the news this morning that he might. I don't think that'll work, him and Hamilton. There's no way those two will work. They'll need an up-and-comer to go with Hamilton until Hamilton retires.
To take him under his wing.
That's right. I mean, Hamilton's too much of an ego to have someone who's going to – imagine him and Vettel together, Scotty.
Oh, Christ.
It wouldn't work.
It'd be World War II again.
It would be. It would not work. So, watch your space for Mercedes. They've had a great year. I mean, they absolutely dominated the Constructors' title as well. So, good year for them, and where that goes, I don't know.
Just a random question on F1. Mm-hmm. What is Schumacher's current status? Is he still in a coma?
Still the same, as I understand.
I think I saw something a couple of months ago that he was out of a coma. But not
still,
talking, but yeah, still not great.
Like a sort of a semi-vegetative state.
Yeah, yep.
So that's good then. Well, that's good news. I mean, I was under the impression he was still assisted breathing and all that sort of stuff.
One of the last things I read before that was, obviously can't communicate or anything, but every time his wife or something or kids would talk to him, he just couldn't communicate, but he just start crying.
Yeah, right.
So you can see he knows what's going on, but he can't get it out. That's like that trapped-in syndrome, is it?
Yeah, yeah.
That's just horrifying, man.
Oh, yeah.
On a ski trip.
Yeah.
And he had a helmet on.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, just hit him in the
right spot.
Like Philip Hughes.
Yeah.
Had the helmet on.
Yeah.
Just
got him in the wrong
spot. The wrong spot, if you will. That's it.
Bit of Biff Boys next. I just wanted to quickly talk about what I think is becoming a little bit of a joke personally. Paul Gallen this weekend fighting Junior Paulo in a charity match before he actually has his professional bout, Benny, on the 23rd. You've got Chris Sandow this weekend as well after his...
Well, Carney won't be able to fight his way out of a wet paper bag, I'll tell you now.
Yep.
I knocked half his family out when I was working in Gold. I did. Just when I was bouncing up there. And Todd's even said in the lead up to this fight, he's gone, I can't fight. He said, I just don't want to embarrass myself, but I wouldn't be surprised if he knocks me out. That's not the kind of vibe you want going into a
That's right.
Because he said that.
But what is the point of these things, though? I mean, Gallen obviously has...
It still makes money. People Benny, watch.
That's what I mean, but there was talk you were going to be on this at one point, wasn't there?
Yeah, I was supposed to fight Willis Meehan, the great Carly Meehan's son.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right.
Put my hand up for that for the 23rd of December. This one was scheduled.
That's the Friday night show. Yeah, that's right.
And, he said, no, I think he's taking a softer opponent.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Yeah, which is fair enough. I wouldn't take you on if you're in a burgeoning career anyway. Why would you do that?
Especially with a beard like this. try and knock this out.
And I heard on the news today on one of the talk stations saying, Gallen's professional fight in a few weeks is in doubt if Paulo knocks him out.
Exactly right.
No, you cannot fight. Mate, Junior Paulo, my mate Steve Babbitt, the Raiders wrestling coach, has been training him, and mate, obviously super athlete, but the guy can actually box and box as well, mate.
That's right.
It's just going to be a slugfest.
It's going to be a brawl, but they're just not going to have any shirts to grab on.
The pro side of things I can see in terms of Gallen in a few weeks' time, if he wants to pursue that professional career when he finishes league next year.
Yeah.
But this whole charity business,
has he said that?
Yeah, I think it's on the cards. What is he? He's 33. He's your age. Benny,
he would make some money. All the guys, they were getting like 50 grand to fight for that.
Yeah, right.
I've never made 50.
But my question is, though, how much does this denigrate the sport of boxing, Benny, when you've just got these charity nights?
It's a joke for boxing, but it's a money maker.
That's what I'm saying.
That's the promoters to blame.
From a purist boxing and martial arts fan level, I don't like the way that these things are set out. If he wants to fight just before Christmas in the pro bout, no worries. But this now, it just seems like a big money-making scam. Sandow's come off his contract. Was it 2 weeks ago, Scotty walked out of his club overseas?
Yeah, but apparently, due to family issues, problems in his family, which is why he came back. So he just didn't do the typical...
But he didn't talk to the club about it, though. That's
but
right.
Apparently, it's all due to family issues, so you can't blame him for doing that.
No.
Could have done it better.
There's a way to do it properly, though.
But yeah, it'll be interesting. And you'll get all your footy heads like me. I'll watch it on the weekend just because I love my footy.
The ratings aren't bad for the shows.
Yeah, and I'd be interested to see...
Especially with Carney. Carney's going to be a draw, man.
The Carney-Sandow fight doesn't interest me at all, but I want to see how Junior Paulo goes. Because the boy on a football field, I reckon Carney's a draw. And he's dropped 10 kegs or so leading up
to
this fight.
You have to.
So,
Mundine used to play footy at 80-something, 88 maybe. Yeah. He had to drop like 12, but he was already lean.
Yeah, this is all a precursor, though, to Hornet Horn, though, in New Zealand and Joey Parker's world title fight as well. So I think it'll depend on what the time is with that in New Zealand as well. But, yeah, that's happening at the same time
I didn't touch on it in Biffrum, but Joey Parker's got his hands full.
I saw him
sparring in Freddie Roach's gym. He was sparring Andre Arlovsky, who was at the time the UFC heavyweight. I think he was actually... left the UFC and he was training to fight Fedor Emelianenko on Affliction. This was 2009, I think. And Andy Ruiz handed Andre Arlovsky's ass to him, man.
Wow. Yeah.
Same physique as me. Faster hands.
Yep.
Better boxing skill. Iron Mexican chin. He's faster than Parker.
Yep.
And, mate, Parker has got his hands full, mate. That's going to be an
awesome
fight.
Is Parker
a
pretender? And I don't say this disrespectfully, the world of the heavyweights at the moment.
I think he's very young and he's had a meteoric rise.
Mate, I think Parker's been managed very well.
Yeah.
His opponents, he's been brought through really well since the 2012 London Olympics. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't an awesome amateur, but that doesn't really translate into...
Joshua belts him though, doesn't he? Absolutely.
I would say so. Well, yeah. him being the 2012 gold medalist.
Himono was technically one of the best
heavyweight boxers. Like his footwork, and he was a beautiful boxer, but... Mm. Typical Islander, just didn't have enough mongrel.
Yeah.
Just too relaxed.
Too nice.
Didn't want to fuck people up, man. I don't get it.
Didn't want to hurt him. So we'll see how those boys go. Like I said, I don't like the way that the boxing is going down this path of just doing a fight show to make some money.
Boxing's been a clusterfuck for years, mate.
Yeah,
it's just nepotism,
right, from the
bullshit,
purest,
money-making crap.
From the purest perspective, though, Benny, I don't like it.
That's why I got out of it.
I don't like it, man.
It's all bullshit. Boxing, it's a 130-year-old business model. It's a boys' club. It's full of nepotism.
Yeah.
It's real. I hate it. I'm done. I'm done with boxing, man.
Yeah.
Let's get a big offer.
To all those promoters out there listening.
If you'd fight Gallen.
Yeah, but he'd never take it. The same as Sonny Billman.
Yeah.
You don't want to get stretched out live on Win News.
Yeah, you'd walk through him.
I'd bet my whole purse on it, mate.
Yeah.
I'd fight him for free, man. The amount of exposure.
You'd bash both of them, mate.
But it's the same as Mayweather and McGregor. What have I got to win? Oh, professional boxer knocked out Gallen. No shit.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, on Gallen knocked Ben out. Eh, my career's over.
Yeah.
I got nothing to win, but you bet your ass I'll take the fight.
Yeah.
Exactly right. Look, finally this week, boys, Tom Brady in the NFL, the New England Patriots quarterback, the Hall of Famer, has officially put himself in the record books as arguably the best ever now. He's just won the most games as a quarterback in the history of the NFL, 201 wins.
He's 147 years old too, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah. He's been around for a long time.
And usually in NFL careers, like 2-3 years, you're done.
Yeah, well, as a quarterback, you probably last a bit longer.
Yeah, compared to a lot
That's it. And he got there ahead of, so he's ahead of Peyton Manning now, who was the Super Bowl winner from last year with the Broncos.
Yep.
But he's also done it in just under 30 games less as well. So five-time.
Was that due to injury on Manning's behalf?
No. Manning just was with the Colts for a very long time.
He was there for a long time.
Were they shit?
He's going to have a post-football career as a drive-in theatre screen.
He's got a head on him, doesn't he?
You should see his forehead,
Benny.
Oh,
mate. It's a five head?
I'll find it. Yeah, he's got a five head. I'll find it on my phone.
Yeah, it's a big one. Yeah, he played at the Colts for a long time, Benny, and whilst they had a good team.
Where are they from?
Indianapolis.
Yeah.
They won one Super Bowl, so he won one there and then ended his career with a win at Denver. So that was good for him. They were sort of bridesmaids for a long time, the Colts, there or thereabouts. So that was big for him. He's a five-time winner already, Tom Brady, one of the greats of all time, and typically...
Oh, I've seen him. That's a six-head.
Yeah, you can see it. There it is. Good on him.
That's widescreen.
He's leading the way in the NFL at the moment, and he overtakes the greats now. I mean, you're talking Manning, you're talking...
What about Tebow?
Tebow.
I just wanted to say nothing.
He's the only NFL guy. He was at the Jets last, I heard.
Yeah. He was the one that used to pray after.
He's super religious.
Massively.
Timmy T. And he had a very strange throwing action as well, if you remember. Yeah. He was quite strange.
Tim Tebow did a charity thing, and I listened to the Fighter and the Kid podcast, and Brian Callen's a comedian, and they asked him to come in for free to do like a 10-minute, stand-up gig at this charity show. And Callan's known for being a dirty comedian.
Yeah.
And so he's got up there and he's looked out at the crowd. It's all these like super religious people, priests, kids, families, and he's doing dick and muff jokes. And then he's like, man, I gave up 30 grand in earnings to be here. Yeah. And they just blackballed me. Yeah. That's right. They screwed him.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Know your audience.
Yeah. And but you got to know the comedian you're hiring
Correct.
As well.
Correct.
So Tim Tebow, go ahead.
That's for you, Tebow. Tim Tebow will certainly not go in the Hall of Fame ranks with Brady, but good on him getting ahead of guys like, I think you can safely say he's ahead of Manning now.
Yeah.
Definitely like the Joe Montanas of the world, Dan Marino, like all the great quarterbacks of all time. John Elway, Brett Favre, he's really made it.
In NFL, I know it's a bit different with boxing, but is the current NFL set up for like how the amount of games they play a year, is it all relatively same as to what it was back in the day?
They only play
16 rounds. Compared to the NRL, it's piss weak.
But that's what I was saying. Like you can actually compare guys and it's a pretty realistic
Absolutely, comparison. That's right, Benny. Yeah, absolutely. There's more teams in the comp now, but at the same time it was never a bare competition.
There's a lot more protection for the players now than there was back in the day too, like rugby league.
I've actually heard protection like headgear and shoulder pads and stuff. I've actually heard that they reckon the headgear is actually causing more problems because
they don't think about it.
People are just charging in head first. Yeah. Because you look at rugby league, people are like, hang on, I've got nothing.
Tackling technique.
Unless I'm like Jonathan Thurston, I don't have anything on my head. Yeah. I've actually got to protect myself when I come in.
Yeah.
So there's a huge theory that the headgear can actually be detrimental.
Same as
what it was for amateur boxing.
Correct.
What it is for amateur boxing. What's been proven to be a negative thing for amateur boxing.
That's it.
So that's it for me, folks. NFL world going well. The Pats 10-2 leading the NFL. The form team, though, is the Dallas Cowboys, the famed Dallas Cowboys. They're on an 11-game winning streak at the moment, 11-1 for the season. And then the Oakland Raiders, 10-2, are the teams that are leading the NFL. Only four more rounds until we go into the playoffs and then the Super Bowl in early February. That concludes it. That's the wide world of sports and the last one for this year. What is it again?
The Vast Planet of Athletic Endeavor.
He remembers that
every week. Doesn't he?
I practice this shit on the toilet.
VP.
As if you don't.
And if you missed it last week, folks, if you missed episode 28, Stevie P is going to join us for every episode. He's going to be a permanent member. So we'll get our little cartoon on Facebook updated. We'll talk to some kitty in the Philippines to draw that up for us during the break.
Better do a good job.
On Fiverr. Otherwise, it'll be fantastic.
He's not eating for a week.
Need advice? You've come to the wrong place.
But Scotty and Ben will have a crack at your conundrum anyway. It's listener question time.
It is listener question time. This is a cold question for Benny. He hasn't even seen it. It's from Baz from Gordon. It says, Benny, I agree with Scotty. Over the last few episodes of the podcast, it sounds like you've got your mojo back, and we heard you sort of talk about where to for you from here on in.
You're back, baby.
What is the goal for 2017, and what's the story? Is it still four local fights, where do we go from here
exactly
for Benny Edwards?
Right. We're loosely looking at a date in February. Nothing's confirmed yet, but yeah, exactly the same game plan. I want to get three or four fights in the calendar year next year, starting in February, all MMA. If I can get four wins under my belt.
So they're going to be MMA fights in a boxing ring or in an octagon?
No, in a cage. I'm paying for the cage out of my own purse. That's how serious I am about the whole thing.
Wow.
Also, if I can get four wins in a row, I'm being realistic.
Yeah.
I know I've already spoken to the guys at Brace for War. Brace for War is live on the UFC Fight Pass Network.
Yep.
If I can get a fight on there and be 5-0 with a win on Brace for War, that will be my ticket to the UFC. It's a 2-year plan.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, and I'm absolutely loving training. I'm the
I said it's fat going, Canberra.
Canberra.
Not just
keep
camera.
Going, champ.
Okay, there you go. So that's
loving it, mate. That's just a breath of fresh air. New training, new people, and I've got so many awesome people helping me out, mate. Yeah. Like Andrew Mack and Duke Didier, Simon Foscarini. They're just awesome people. It's such an awesome community in Canberra.
Yep.
Everyone helps everyone, and there's heavyweights galore, mate. It's so different to boxing and kickboxing. There's heaps of people to train with. Everyone's awesome, so I'm loving it, and I can't wait to see how far I can go.
Nice. And then we'll get you up on one of Stevie's fights at Liverpool in front of 2,000 dudes.
I'm going to trip Buffer over and get Stevie the big geek. Need it, Buff. You've made your
Thank
money,
Thank you,
mate.
Sir. Thank you. I appreciate that.
On the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
I think we got a show.
Oh, yeah, we got a show.
It's listener request time.
You know, to liven things up.
This is the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast, proudly brought to you by Lang's Auto and the Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen. We move on to our listener request this week, and it comes from Adrian Kraft.
Speaking of jiu-jitsu guys, he's one of them.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's a good bloke. He's also a boy in blue, so good on your Crafty.
Yeah, nice. Another legend. Good on you. Good on you. Can I call him Crafty? I don't know him. Crafty?
Yeah, yeah.
Adrian? Adrian?
He calls you Mr. Chlamydia, so.
Thank you, Crafty. Glad we're already at that level. Beautiful. So his request is Mary Mary by Mantissa. This is a heavy rock song from the early 90s.
He said, I know you'll enjoy it, Scotty. This was already in my iTunes. I didn't even have to download it.
Oh, really?
These guys were amazing. Their first album was produced by Terry Date, who'd worked with Soundgarden. So he produced this, and they had a chick, I think her name was Nina. She played bass. She was like just stunningly hot.
Slapping the bass.
And man, God, she could play the bass. And yeah. Adam was the lead singer. I can't remember his last name, but he was just a machine to watch on stage. And one of their guitarists passed away a couple of years ago from cancer, I do believe.
Yeah.
But check this out. This is sensational. Bit of Mantissa on the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
Thank you, Crafty. We'll be right back.
There you go, a bit of Aussie rock, sensational stuff by Mantissa and Mary Mary. It's the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast with Scotty, Benny and Stevie. Thanks to the crew at Dixon and Kayleen at the Butcher Shop and, of course, Lang's Auto, 44 Yass Road in Queanbeyan.
Now, Scotty, back in episode two, which is probably 31 weeks ago, I think we cancelled
yeah,
two.
Yeah, well, we had a few sick weeks in the middle there. I think this is probably stretched out for about 40 weeks overall.
Yeah, I borrowed a certain box set of you.
Oh, yeah, you borrowed Breaking Bad.
I sure did,
mate. My Blu-ray box set.
I do, and it was great, but I've got some bad news for you, mate. I managed to misplace one of the DVDs.
Yeah,
sure the ex-missus burnt it at the stake.
Excellent.
And also, Mum threw out the actual box cover.
If only you could see Scotty's face. So
it was a DVD. And
is that steam coming out of your headphones?
No, it's just sweat because it's hot in here. But that was actually, and I'm going to make you feel bad now, but that was my Christmas present three Christmases ago from the wife.
Well, I'm going to make it up for you this Christmas by returning it.
But without the box.
Without the box. And you've got two full season threes, except for one CD.
So there's two covers for season three, but only one disc because your ex burnt the other one. And the box that they all came in is missing.
I assume so, yes.
Excellent. Yes. Fantastic.
So thanks. Can I borrow True Blood or something?
What do you want to borrow?
Something else. No.
So you lost...
Well, when are you heading off?
Christmas Eve.
Because I'm house-sitting.
You are house-sitting for me, Benny. Yeah.
Christmas Eve.
Christmas Eve, we're gone.
They'll be here when you get back.
Well, you have to come around before that and get the keys, and I've got to teach you how the alarm works and everything.
But I'll probably forget Breaking Bad then anyway. So they'll be here when you get back.
I think after that, I think you need to give yourself an uppercut this week, Benny.
Well, hashtag irony based upon the name of the show. I think it's pretty appropriate for the last episode of the season.
Okay. All right. Away you go. Jeez, the beard. The beard took plenty of that
good
power.
Good, thanks.
Seven.
Caramel, please.
Oh, dearie me. So there we go. That is it for us this year. Again, to Langs, thank you for being with us from the start.
Thank you.
We know they're not going to be here with us next year, but we really appreciate Johnny and the team. And to Ian and the crew at the Butcher Shop, thank you so much. Stevie, you've been a sensation on the show this year. I think half a dozen appearances out of 28 episodes or so.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
It's been a lot of fun, man. So we look forward There's nothing more
I look forward to in the week, boys. It really is great fun.
I'm Benny Edwards. You're Scotty. Oh. Have we already started?
Yeah, I'm still knocked out.
Wake up!
Sorry.
That's what happens.
Where's the smelling salts, man?
That's what happens when you give yourself an uppercut. I'll say Merry Christmas and get a big black dog up you.
I'll say see you, folks. And Scotty, do you have a Stevie?
Coming in the
I'm
new
still
year.
Unconscious. Stevie B's. Do you have a sign-off line?
No, I don't. No.
He's going to come up with one over the break.
Yeah, I'll come up
you
with
You come up
one.
With a sign-off line and Scotty... We're all going to brainstorm.
My UFC sign-off. Good night, everybody. But I'll come
You need a better one.
No, of course.
And you need a name for your segment, man. But I think my name's pretty good. Scotty doesn't like it, but two against one, man.
Yeah, fine.
The VPAE.
It's a democracy. Right.
Is that
That's
it?
Fine. That's fine.
Is that it?
See ya. We're done. Bye.
Get
Well, that's a wrap. Not sure if we solved the problems of the world, but if we didn't, Ben can put those problems to sleep with a well-timed ride. And then Scotty can write a scathing diatribe and give them another tongue-lashing in the next episode of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. Hey, at least they played some kick-ass music, right? This podcast couldn't be made possible without our sponsors, Lang's Auto Centre in Queanbeyan and the Butcher Shop Dixon and Kayleen. Until next time...